Well, our text today is the first letter of John, chapter 1. We're going to do verses 1 through 10, and that's on page 1301 of your Pew Bibles. So I'll give you a moment to turn there. So hear the word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Please bow your heads. Father, bless this, the reading of your word and preaching of your word. And we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit today. Help us to remember your word and apply it to our lives for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, reading this text makes me think of transformation. And if you think about it, transformation is really all around us and change. We just finished a year, 2019. We're moving on to a new year, 2020. So what does that have in store for us? Nature, when we think of that, also provides great examples of transformation. We have changes of seasons. Winter turns to spring. Flowers come out. Trees come out. Also, fall is a beautiful time of year when the leaves fall, but they turn brilliant colors. So all around us in the world God's created is transition and transformation. We also, maybe one of the favorite examples that nature provides us is caterpillars that are kind of ugly little fuzzy things that sometimes are pests. They cause lots of damage. They weave a cocoon and they're in darkness for quite a while. But then they break out into the light, usually in a much prettier form of a butterfly. And when we think of the 12 men, the disciples that were with Jesus for 3 years, when we think of the other people that were with him as well, we see a transformation in them from darkness to light. And our passage today deals a lot with darkness to lightness, that transformation. And when I think of John as a disciple, I often think of him as he's the disciple of love. He's the disciple that Jesus loved. Most of his writings have a very intimate language that talks about the relationship that Jesus has with the Father, with his Father, and also the relationship and the love that Jesus shows towards us. But did John really have everything together as a disciple? Was he the one that just was Jesus' favorite because he never did anything wrong or made any mistakes? Well, the Bible tells a different story of John. Maybe he wasn't all that warm and fuzzy. When we look at John, what we find out about him in Scripture is his nickname, along with his brother James, they were called the Sons of Thunder. Now, remember that they were fishermen, and with a nickname like that, it probably doesn't mean they were mellow. In fact, they may have been rather volatile. And we see this later in Scripture. What happens, we see this in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus visited a Samaritan village, and he was rejected by that village. They didn't want him to come and stay there. And James and John saw that, and they didn't like that too much. So this is what they said. Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? In other words, they wanted to commit genocide. They wanted to eradicate an entire Samaritan village. In today's language, that's premeditated first-degree murder, and that will earn you a lifetime sentence in prison, or, if the jurisdiction allows it, probably the death penalty. And this is what John and James wanted to do. But it doesn't stop there. Later on in the gospel, we also learn that they really conspired with their mother to try to get an advantageous position with Jesus at the expense of the other disciples. John and his brother James and their mother asked Jesus if they could sit at his right and left hand. And Jesus calmly and quietly rebuked them and said that that was not for him to give. It was for the Father to determine who should be at his right and left hand. Now, needless to say, when the other 10 disciples found out about that, they weren't too happy with the two brothers. The Bible tells us that they were indignant. But when we look at John, somebody who wanted to take out an entire Samaritan village, after he was with Jesus for that 3-year period, and after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, and the disciples became apostles, or what we call the sent ones, John writes this in 1 John chapter 4. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I would argue that John was more radically transformed by being with Jesus than anyone. Someone who went from wanting to kill an entire village to writing what I just read you. It's a remarkable transformation. And when we look at this passage today, there's really three things to remember, three W's. John talks about who Jesus is, what Jesus does, and walking in the light. Those three W's. And if you were to boil down this passage to one sentence, this passage is really about Jesus being the eternal Word of life, who's come from God to forgive us our sins so that we can have fellowship with Him, with the Father, and with each other. So when we take a look at verses 1 through 5, what we see here, first of all, is John is talking about how he is an eyewitness. Well, why is that important? Well, in the law, eyewitness testimony is always admissible. And the reason for that is because it's reliable. Hearsay isn't admissible because it's not reliable. There are some exceptions where it is, but eyewitness testimony is always reliable. And John here is talking about the fact that he heard Jesus. He saw Jesus. He looked upon Jesus. He touched Jesus. He has unparalleled credibility as a witness here, as an eyewitness to Jesus. And he also was an eyewitness to Jesus' physical and historical presence on earth. So when you read John, remember that. It's very reliable. John also talks about who Jesus is. He talks about the fact that Jesus was from the beginning, before time ever was. Jesus has always been. He describes Jesus as the Word of life, eternal life, and tells us how Jesus was with the Father, yet he was revealed to us, made manifest to us. What that means is he became publicly seen and known. Jesus became accessible to us. And the great thing is that he's still accessible to us. And John also talks about fellowship, how Jesus has fellowship with the Father, and we have fellowship with each other. And our fellowship grows out of that dynamic relationship that the Father and the Son have. And finally, in these first five verses, John talks about how God is light, and there's no darkness in Him whatsoever. Now, we see in many places in the Old Testament, in that part of the Bible, light is used as a metaphor to describe God. In Psalm 36:9, it describes God as light. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. God's word has been described as light. In Psalm 119, it states, the unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. And light also symbolizes God's salvation. In Psalm 27, it states, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So, we know who Jesus is. And the next section tells really what Jesus can do. And it also talks about walking in the light. When we look at verses 6 and 7 again, it states, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when the commentators look at these two verses, what they notice was that light and darkness cannot coexist. They're two opposing forces that are really competing for their influence over us. Light and dark are realities that are greater than us, and they're external to us. And the commentaries also note that darkness, it's not simply sin. When we talk about darkness, it's not sin. It's the realm that opposes and is hostile toward God. And the Apostle Paul phrases it this way in Ephesians. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We don't wrestle against each other. We wrestle against those dark forces. Now, what John doesn't say is also important here. When John talks of darkness, he doesn't mean that it's indwelling sin in us. John doesn't say, let there be no darkness in you. John says, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And John says also that if we walk in life, we receive two things, fellowship with one another, and we're purified from every sin by the blood of Jesus. And a very important point here that David Jeremiah, Pastor David Jeremiah notes, he says that those that are in the light do indeed sin, but they recognize the need to be purified from sin. To the contrary, those who walk in darkness don't recognize those things. They don't recognize their need to be purified from sin, or they deny that need to be purified from sin. So walking in the light leads us to recognize what's false in us and what's impure in us. And we know that the perfect light is God is, and the blood, we know that his light's perfect for us, and we also know that Jesus cleanses us from our sins, so we can continue in that fellowship with God that Jesus has given us. Now, verses 8 and 9, and John says in verse 8, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, in John's day, it's important to know that there was some false teaching going on out there. And that's really the main reason that he wrote this letter, was to correct that false teaching. There were some who were teaching that once you accepted Christ, that you were free from sin. Sin was totally eradicated from you, and that you could achieve sinless perfection. Some of that teaching's even going on now in today's world. But John wanted to correct this erroneous teaching. So what he said was that people who believe that have been deceived. If they believe that they can be sinless, they've been deceived. And the Bible clearly tells us that. Paul in Romans tells us that all have sinned. He writes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So since we as believers in Jesus, when we have Jesus as our Savior, we still do sin. There still is sin in our lives. But John teaches us how to deal with this. He states that if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So when we talk about confession, well, what is confession? Well, one of the commentators, I really liked how they stated this. Confession really involves about four points. The first is knowing that God is the measure and standard of righteousness and truth, and that we all shall fall short of that standard. So what confession really is we're acknowledging that we're falling short of God's standard. We're being honest about that and telling God about that. When we confess that sin, we adopt a stance of dependency on God. We're not running away from God. We're acknowledging that we're dependent on him. And confession, as Jamie talked about last week, repentance involves a turning toward God. Confession is part of that. It implies a turning toward God, a repentance, a desire to conform to God's character. So if we confess, we're able to maintain that strong relationship, that strong fellowship with God, the Father, and with Jesus. But what happens if we don't confess our sins? Well, Pastor David Jeremiah has a good comment on that. He notes that Christians who don't regularly confess their sins weaken their fellowship with God, and their relationship with Him becomes strained and distant. Now, John in verse 10 goes on to say a little bit more. He says, if we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So what does John mean by this? How can we make God a liar? Well, if we deny sin, if we say that we're sinless, we're rejecting God's provision for us for salvation. We're rejecting what Jesus has done, His atoning sacrifice for us. In other words, if we say that we're without sin, Jesus coming to earth, fully God, fully human, His life, His death, and His resurrection are meaningless. Because if we have no sin, we don't need a Savior, do we? If our truth is that we have no sin, we don't need a Savior. And if that's the case, we deny God's truth and make Him a liar. That is not a good place to be. Okay? So a person may have heard and agreed with the gospel message, but until he or she really acknowledges that there's sin in their life, that gospel can't take root. So on a final topic here, when we look at this passage, is this a missional passage? What does this say about mission? Well, it is a missional passage. We clearly see here that John is moved to proclaim the gospel to others, and so that others may share in the fellowship with other Christians and fellowship and communion with the Father and with the Son. John's stated purpose here in this letter is to promote joy. And when he talks about Jesus, he uses strong words, seen, testify. He bears witness about Jesus. To proclaim, he announces publicly and openly about Jesus and extols Him and praises Him. And he wants others to have this joyful fellowship that he and other Christians have with the Father and with the Son and with each other. So if we're walking in the light, if we have that fellowship, that relationship with other people, with other Christians, with God and with Jesus, we're going to want to do as John did. We're going to want others to have fellowship with us also. And we'll want to tell others about Jesus. So what does all this mean for us? Are we transformed by Jesus, as John and the disciples and others were? Have we been transformed by Him? Are we as a church walking in the light that Jesus provides? Are we as individuals walking in the light that Jesus provides? And we know that if we are, that Jesus forgives our sins and gives us fellowship with God and each other. And we can stay in this fellowship if we seek Him out and confess our sins, if we continue to walk in the light. So Jesus is unique. He's the only entity in the entire universe that can take away sins, all of them. He's powerful. He's defeated death. And by doing so, He gives us eternal life. That's something, even as the Frozen Chosen Presbyterians, we can get a little excited about that. Jesus gives us eternal life. So do you know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus? If you want to know Jesus, believe that He's the Son of God. Confess that, like all of us, you've fallen short of God's standard and sin. And ask Him into your life. Ask Him to forgive your sins. And He'll do it. He's faithful and just. Then tell others about the great gift that God has sent to us, Jesus Christ, so that we may have fellowship together with God the Father and with Jesus, His Son. Amen. Please bow your heads with me. Father, we're so thankful for Your word. Please guide us. Help us to walk in the light. Help us to confess our sins to You regularly that we might be forgiven. And help us to know You. Help those who don't know You to know who You are, to accept You, and be born again. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.